This morning we're continuing in the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 38. So it takes place right after the scripture that was read last week in Jesus teaching his disciples, coming down from the mountain to the plain and teaching his disciples. And so Luke 6:27 says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word for us for today. And God, it is indeed a challenging one for us to hear and to live by, and especially in a world that can be so challenging. And so, Lord, be with us, empower us, transform us. I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. Amen. So last week we did read the scripture of Jesus coming down from the mountain to the plain and saying these words, also known as the Beatitudes, from the plain. Blessed are the who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. In reading that scripture from the Gospel of Luke, we read as Jesus, the great equalizer, came from the mountain together with his 12 disciples and to teach them what it meant to live as a disciple, a follower of Christ, a learner. And he stands on that level plane with them and tells them what it means to be blessed. So this morning, it's like this scripture just like continues on. And it's a continuation of that sermon on the plain in which Jesus shared last week. And this morning's scripture is another one of those like, what? Like, come again now? Like, can you repeat yourself? We come as, it's one of Jesus's most difficult teachings. It's one that sets the Christian faith apart. It's that one that defines the Christian ethics, though. Jesus teaches his closest followers to love their enemies, to love your enemies. You see, for Jesus to teach in such a way was kind of out of step in the world with which Jesus lived. To show mercy, well, that was kind of a sign of weakness. To turn someone's cheek was, you're showing weakness. And they admired justice and courage and discipline, and they had no use for compassion and mercy and generosity. As one of the Roman philosophers said, mercy is a disease of the soul. It was reflected in culture. For example, their attitude towards slaves. According to Aristotle, slaves were living tools and thus were treated in a very impersonal way. If an owner grew tired of a slave, well, he could just send them to the arena to fight the lions. If a slave grew too old to work, well, it's kind of like a broken hammer. Just dispose of him. And love for your enemies, there wasn't a good enemy. The only good enemy was a dead enemy. Like, people didn't like their enemies. I mean, have I made it clear what people thought of what it meant to show compassion on an enemy? Like, this was unheard of. And yet Jesus comes and he speaks these words to his disciples and to his followers that was so counterculture. Jesus' disciples are taught to behave in a way considered imprudent by many, sowing generosity where nothing is expected to grow. Sounds like bad advice. But in spite of how it sounds, we know Jesus' words are a reminder that much of the gospel teaching is hard. The very idea of forgiveness is both radical and powerful. It runs against our thinking, our inclinations, our desires, and our will. And maybe that's why, just in these first few chapters of Luke, over and over and over again, Jesus repeats words of, I've come to be in relationship with the poor and the oppressed and those who are enslaved and unjust. He says it over and over again so the disciples wouldn't miss the point. As we read through this scripture, some may say that this response that Jesus puts forth actually, it doesn't help a situation. It actually encourages passive response to violence or evil. If anyone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other. Like, what good's that going to do? If anyone takes your coat, take off your shirt and give it to them as well. I mean, how's that going to help a situation? The successful thief is just encouraged to steal again. Does loving our enemies mean that we never confront them about what made the situation unjust? Does it mean that we just grit our teeth and do nothing? Well, of course not. If we do nothing, well, then we are certainly not being very loving. We're not looking out for someone's highest and best interests. If we let our friends or families or enemies continue to hurt themselves or others, then we're really not desiring what's best for them. The call of Luke is to live in a way contrary to our human nature. Responding in love is desiring the most and the best for each person and offering ways in which each person is an agent of God's transforming love. And so if we read this scripture out of that context, and what was shared last week even, and even a few weeks back, then things look a little bit different. You see, knowing all of this and in reference to God's love for us and what it means to be blessed and what it means to be a disciple, then we know that the kingdom of God transforms the disciples' actions from compliance or just a passive response to resistance to the face of evil in the world, to transform the world. Jesus gives his listeners a new lens to see situations. That even when one is persecuted or hated or stolen from or insulted, actually, maybe they're blessed. That when a person offers their shirt, he or she gives not from a position of one who is oppressed, but one who already shares in the riches in the kingdom of God. That generosity of ourself is a mark of a redeemed heart. That if you just love those who can love you back, what credit is that to you? What's the difference between a redeemed heart and the sinner? The difference between the redeemed and the sinner is mercy and justice and compassion and generosity. So besides watching maybe an overabundance of sports on TV, and sometimes I watch the nightly news for a few minutes and Wheel of Fortune. There, you know my TV, yeah. I usually solve the puzzle before they do, actually, just so you know. If you're wondering. So the other show I enjoy watching is this show called What Would You Do? What Would You Do? John Quiñones or something is his name, and he goes around and they set up different situations and different places and scenarios in public places, and they see how people would respond to these different scenarios that are kind of in front of you. Often looking to see if people will take action and respond and speak up for the oppressed or the poor or the injustice, or if they sit and do nothing. You know, people used to wear those bracelets like WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Like, I don't know, it was like a reminder, like, if I don't remember, let me look at my bracelet, like, what would Jesus do? Like, we know what Jesus would do. Like, we read about it in the scriptures over and over and over again. But this show is about, what would you do? What would you do? Knowing what Jesus did, what would you do? How would you respond to a person experiencing homelessness, being mistreated in front of you? What would you do if you recognized a foster child being treated differently than a biological child in the family? What would you do if you saw someone speaking meanly to employees of a particular establishment? What would you do in a number of different situations? If we don't act differently than those around us as Christians, what makes us any different than anyone else? If we only love people who love us back and turn an eye to those who we see injustice happening to, then what good is knowing what Jesus would do if we're not going to follow in that same footstep? Jesus says that even the worst of society are willing to respond with love for them, love for love, but God's people need to be ready with more than that, to extend response of love even for hate. The people were used to trading gifts for gifts with one another and expecting something in return. If I give you this, you give me that. Relationships were built on this kind of exchange, tit for tat. That was kind of the norm. But once again, Jesus turns things upside down and says, rather than looking or waiting for your repayment from a person, you know your reward is from God. And the abundance of God's kingdom ensures that the disciples' good action and love will be returned, even if it's not from that person who you just gave to. The story is told that one day a beggar by the roadside asked for alms from Alexander the Great as he was passing by, and Alexander threw the man a several gold coins. Someone saw Alexander do this and said to Alexander, "Your Highness, copper coins would have been adequate for that person. Why did you throw him gold coins?" And Alexander responded, "Copper would have suited the beggar's need, but gold coins suited Alexander's giving." I was listening to a podcast on the way here this morning, and it said, generosity of love says more about the giver than about the one who receives. It's a way of the heart. Give a little until you can give a lot. Being poor doesn't make one selfish in itself, any more than being a millionaire makes one generous. There are generous people who are poor, and there are selfish people who are wealthy. It's about how we personally understand giving and generosity in our relationship to Christ, not dependent on what others are doing. We know about the heart of Christ, who was called to serve and love. Generosity is the mark of a redeemed heart. Friends, the call of today's gospel is to live in a way contrary to our human nature, a way that is possible only as we live with a new power born from above. What changes us and allows us to love is a grace greater than our sin, our best intentions, and even our hard work. And when disciples understand their actions as flowing out of God's abundant grace, to which they belong and what belongs to them, then turning the other cheek and loving our enemies becomes an act of resistance to evil that has the power to transform others and the world in which we live. I think we live in a world that more than ever needs the church to live as people who respond with hope and grace, who respond with love, who respond not with a quick hatred or judgment, but with one who has compassion. Friends, these aren't my words, these are Jesus's. But may we do our best to not just look at a bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" but to do it. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to meet in this place, that we can open our doors and welcome all who desire to come to hear a word from you, to be welcomed in the love and the grace and the compassion that you welcome us. And so, Lord, as we leave this place and as we enter into the world, may we have eyes to see, and ears to hear, and hearts that are open to respond to the hurt and the needs around us. May we do it not because we desire anything in return, but because we've already received all that we need. We've been given a gift of the kingdom of God that we could never, ever earn ourselves. So, Lord, be with us and empower and encourage us to boldly live in a way that is countercultural. May we do so together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.